Okay, we're up to Simon Dalet, and we shall be learning tonight a really important sif, which is Sif Yud Ches. Just as a word of introduction, the Satmar Rebbe Zichron Livrocha, not the current one, and not the one before that, the Berech Moshe, but the one before that, the Divrei Yoel, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livrocha, was very opinionated. He's known for his very strong opinions on various political issues. But besides that, I think everybody agrees, leaving that alone, everybody agrees that it was a gewaltige tzaddik and an outstanding tzaddik. And it is well known that he went through the war. I believe he was in Bergen-Belsen and in Auschwitz. And it's quite unbelievable what during the war, in the camps, the way he was moser nefesh. And my grandfather, Zichron Livrocha, was together in the camps with him. I wasn't zeichet to hear this from my grandfather, but somebody else heard it from my grandfather and told me that he was in the camp together, mamash literally a few beds away from the Satmar Rebbe. During the Satmar Rebbe wasn't so well known in those days yet. It was long before he established the Malchus of Satmar, this gewaltige Malchus of Satmar, and he was in and my grandfather said, again, I didn't hear this from himself. My grandfather said it was unbelievable that they got a daily, during the war, they got daily rations of water, of liquid. I don't know what it was, but I do know that it was very, very small amounts, very minute amounts of drinks, real minute amounts of what they got. I don't exactly know what it was, but it was just a minute amount of drinks that they were given to drink, just sufficient to survive, or probably less than that. And the Satmar Rebbe Zichron Livrocha, he didn't use it for drink. He didn't drink it. He used it for Nagelwasser. He used that minute amount. He used it for Nagelwasser. Unbelievable. I don't know if it was always like that or just whenever he could. I'm not sure. But just to show the unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh of Heilig Yidden, this goes very much in line with the Heilige Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish writes, I think I mentioned earlier, the Chazon Ish writes in the letters that if a person wants to reach Yirat Shemayim, one of the three things that he mentions to reach Yirat Shemayim is to be makpid on the halachas, that when a person needs to wash his hands. And besides Nagelwasser, which is what we've been discussing until now, from Sif Aleph till Sif Yud Zayin, was mainly the halachas of the Rosh, the Rashba, and the aspect of Ruach Ha. But Sif Yud Ches is the additional halachas when a person is actually obligated to wash his hands. We're going to see there's two levels in that, but let us see that. And so Sif Yud Ches is a listing of all the halachas when a person actually needs to wash his hands. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch teaches us. Sif Yud Ches, Eilu Dvorim, these are the things, Tzrichim Letile B'mayim, these are the things that a person needs to, when he has done the following listed things, that's when he needs to wash his hands. Eilu Dvorim, these are the things, Tzrichim Letile B'mayim, needs to wash his hands. So the Mishneh Berurah in Sif Kot Lamed Tes tells us the following introduction, B'mayim, Deletfile, bottom line, Sif Kot Lamed Tes, B'mayim with water, Af Deletfile, V'kolchken Letoire, Dai, Acha kol elu binikoyim be'alme. He said that it's the Sif Chov, we're going to learn at a later Sif, that for some of them, you will not necessarily need to wash your hands with water. Some of them, actually, if you will be able to just rub your hands clean. So what the Mishnah is actually teaching us now is that there's some you dafka need water and some you do not necessarily need water. If you rub your hands with something, which is if you rub your hands with something, that will be okay as well. So the Shulchan Aruch is in that the Mishnah says it's not always necessarily water, and that will be discussed in Sif Chov Beis. Certainly when you get out of your bed, you certainly need water. And now the following narratives are going to be listed shortly. He's going to tell us when you need to wash hands with water and when not necessarily. Now he says, Mikol Mokim Listaleg Ruach Ra, the rule is, when you need to remove Ruach Ra can only be removed with water. Mikol Mokim Listaleg Ruach Ra Tzorich Dafke Moim. So that's the rule. The rule is, there's going to be a whole list of things. Some of them you do need water. Some of them you don't necessarily need water. But the rule is based on the concept that ruach ra, you need to take away with water dafke. How about three times? Do you dafke need three times or just once off? Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not very well known, I believe. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that ein zorich sholosh pa'amim, eine kemol zim, sif kotna samachal, ve ein zorich sholosh pa'amim, you don't necessarily need three times. Ki im only become min amita. The three times, that's really only necessary when you get out of bed. So we're going to see there's others which also create the ruach ra. We're going to see soon there's ruach ra coming up, a list of ruach ra things. But they don't necessarily need three times. You do need water, but you don't need three times. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'yesh machmir, there are people who are machmir, b'olich ben ha-meisim, we're going to see soon, there's one halacha of b'olich ben ha-meisim, when you walk between the deceased, m'shamish mitos after relations, tebinon gamken sholosh pa'amim, they also need three times. But that is a chumrah. U'b'sefer echal ha-kodesh machmir, b'yotzim b'yis ha-kisah sholosh pa'amim, it's an additional chumrah. Somebody after leaving the b'yis ha-kisah, the bathroom, he also needs to wash three times. But these are chumras, and Morgan Avraham, Sosa Advarov, Morgan Avraham says you don't have to be machmir on that. So again, with regards to three times, the only one which clearly needs three times is when you get out of bed. That's the only time that you really need three times water. There is machmirim also for others after holich ben amesim. We're going to see exactly what that means. Basically, when you went to a base only base akvoras, and also when it comes to mishamish mitosoi, and also yoytzim base akisei. Those maybe also is a chumrah. Maybe there's a chumrah of doing three times well. But we have to be able to differentiate between the chumrah and the ikedin. The ikedin is the only one that really requires three times water is kam min amita, when you get out of your bed in the morning. Okay, that's an important rule to know. Okay, now let us see what are those other requirements. When do you need to wash your hands? Okay, so the first one on page 20, this first one is the one we've been discussing at great length until now, is a kam min amita. Somebody gets out of bed, that's, we've been discussed that extensively, that is the Rosh, the Rashba, and the Ruach Ra. Right. Next is hayoytze mi beis hakisei. Somebody who is leaving the beis hakisei. Now, that is, what is that really, what's the literal translation of a yoytzim beis hakisei? The one who leaves the beis hakisei, somebody who left the beis hakisei, somebody who left who went out of the toilet. What does that imply? If we are medayek, that even if you just went into the beis hakisei, you went into the toilet and you left, that itself requires washing hands. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Mem. Hayoytzim beis hakisei, afidu loy osot zrochov, even if it wasn't excused. Just going into the beis hakisei and out, that requires. V'chein mi beis hamechet, also from what was a washroom, a beis hamechet, we're all aware, of course, that in earlier generations there was no bathroom in the houses, so the beis hamechet, so you wash yourself, there also you need to wash your hands afterwards. Afidu loy rochat sham, if you go into beis hamechet, into wash house, without even washing, you'd have to wash your hands as well. And why is that? So now we're learning, mishum ruach ra, shoshoy rebeila mekoymes. Those are for ruach ra. And again, the rule is, ruach ra can only be removed with water, as Mishnah Berurah explained just earlier. So we're now learning now, b'yotzim beis hakisei, and beis hamechet, the same would apply, that needs dafka water. However, as we just learned before, you don't necessarily need three times mekra din. Yeah. Very good.
Isn't necessary.
Very good.
Some opinions to watch.
Very good. Now that's exactly what I was about to mention. Excellent. That's exactly what I was about to go now.
Excellent example I thought of that might apply that. Supposing one's going to look at a house with a view to rent or buy.
Yeah.
One goes into the bathroom and toilet. Well, that he isn't going in to go to the toilet.
Just.
And it wouldn't.
Very good. Yeah. Just to go in and out of. Very good. So we have discussed. Somebody goes out of, leaves a beis hakisei, he needs to wash hands. Now, we're all aware that the beis hakisei of previous generations didn't have the sophisticated flushing systems that we've got nowadays, and they would work very, very differently. Now, does the halacha apply with the modern contemporary toilets? Does a person need to wash his hands after leaving a regular toilet? Because they're built very differently, obviously, than previous generations. There was no system. The toilets were, please excuse me, they weren't they didn't work the same way. Nowadays, we flush the toilet and everything is gone. So therefore, maybe the halach is different. Or is it? Or is it not? Very good. Has wachah got anything to do with cleanliness? Very good question. Has it or has it not? So you're saying, based on that, you're saying that, since it's probably nothing to do with, right, it's right, very good. Does everybody agree to that? The Emma says that this is a discussion which is discussed in great length in the poskim, I think looks like that the systems that we've got nowadays was established in the 1950s. Does that make sense? That's when the poskim Dain Weiss and Rav Moshe, that the tshuvas are dated in the 1950s. Yeah, when they were commercialized. So the poskim, they take basically, they want to compare it to a Gemara, but the Maisa, they're paskin that certainly lechumra one should assume that he has got the same halacha than a regular Beis HaKisei of the times of the Gemara. Therefore, the halacha they paskin that hayotzim Beis HaKisei, even of nowadays toilet, you'd have to wash your hands. This is what Rav Moshe says, and this is what Rav Moshe and Chaznish also is machmir, and they say that the Beis HaKisei nowadays will have to be machmir the same way than of previous generations' bathrooms. So that's the consensus of the poskim. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So, very good. Yeah, right. Assuming that it's really closed off completely, and the area that you wash. Yeah. The mechitzas would work. Correct. The answer is yes. Mechitzas would work if you have mechitzas that are closed off. Yeah, right. That would be considered correct. Yes, correct. That would be considered a separate area. Yeah.
It's no good washing where it's got the sink inside.
Right.
It's not right.
So it's not very ideal to wash inside. It's not very ideal. The poskim agree that, but if there's no other option, it's better than nothing. But they all agree that ideally one should not wash in the bathroom. One should not. There are poskim who tend to be a little bit more lenient when you dry your hands outside. So say you've got a bathroom and you wash your hands there and you don't dry it yet. You'll only dry it outside once you have left it. Some poskim hold that since you've got still the water on your hands and you dry it outside, that may be sufficient. But it's a bit hard to understand misvara. But I suppose if that's the best you can do, that's probably the best you can do. But the consensus of the poskim again is to be quite machmir in that area.
Would the room which we call the bathroom have the same thing as a toilet?
Very good. Does it or does it not? That itself is a machloikas as well. Many poskim are machmir. Many poskim are machmir because they say it's no God and Beis HaMechetz. And they are machmir. Many poskim are machmir. Yeah. Yeah. No, well, it's the consensus of the poskim to paskin like that. It's the consensus of the poskim. It's something which is...
Yeah.
Right. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. That was example number one. The yotzim beis hakisei, emun beis hamechetz. The next example, which we need to wash hands for, is a noitel tziporinov, to the cutting nails. After cutting nails, one should wash one's hands. Says the Mishnah Bura in Tzivkotn Mem Aleph, Mishum shenegia beyodov beis hachalitza, aval beloy noga bohem ain't. I skipped. Hanoitel Tziponov, just the fact that cutting the nails, we need to wash hands afterwards. I continue in Shulchan Aruch. V'acholetz min olof, somebody who takes off his shoes. V'anoigea beroglov, somebody who touches his feet. All those who require washing hands. Here the Mishnah Berurah says, Nifkot mem olof, min olof, touching shoes. Why is that? If you touch your shoes, you will need to wash your hands. Mishum shenegea beyodov beis hachalitza. You will touch the shoe. Aval beloy nagabohem, but if you didn't touch with your hands the shoe at all, and so chnetila, say if you've got slip on, so you can just, you know, put the shoes on without touching them, you wouldn't have to wash your hands. But if you used your hands whilst you put on your shoes, you will have to wash your hands afterwards. The poskim discuss what about if you can tie your shoelaces without touching the shoes. Now, I've tried it many times, but if you manage to just literally tie your shoelaces and put on your shoes without touching the shoes, will you then require to wash your hands? Yes or no? Loi plug. Interesting. So it has to do with nikias. Not dirty. Not dirty. So the poskim, Shem Zalman and other poskim say, yes, if you did not touch your shoe, you won't have to wash your hands. If you just, the shoelace is considered a separate unit, and therefore if you didn't touch the shoe, you're just able to put on your shoes without touching the shoes. But shoelaces, it's fine, you won't have to wash your hands. Yeah. So Velcro, is it, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I didn't see anybody discussing the Velcro. I suppose it has to do. What do you think?
It's leather part of the shoe.
But yeah. Right. Is it really different than a shoe? Is it really the same than the shoelace?
I think it's more part of the shoe than the shoelace. Because it's part of the shoe, it can't be detached.
Yeah.
Whereas the shoelace can completely come out. Whereas the Velcro can't come out.
You're very good.
The
yeah. Yeah, I didn't see any poskim speaking about this specifically, but my assumption is that the shoelace is something which you can just remove, and you can have a shoe. You can have the shoe without the shoelace. You can't have the Velcro. You can't do without, I suppose. So, no. Correct. Yeah, but that wouldn't require you necessarily, unless it's particularly dirty. We're actually going to get to that in shortly. You wouldn't have to. Yeah.
Velcro
yeah. Yeah, correct. Correct. If the shoe, well, no, shoelace doesn't get dirty. Right, I hear. But it's part of the shoe. The shoe itself requires you to wash hands. If it's part of the shoe, you need to wash. If it's not, then it's not. It's not part of the shoe. Yeah.
If you tap the toe of your shoe.
Pardon?
If you tap the toe of your shoe, do you need to wash your hands? Because it's a shoe that kills.
Right, very good. I want to get to that shortly. This is a good question. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if cotton mem aleph. Now says the Mishnah, these are very important words, the first word and taking off shoes, and touching one's feet, which we haven't touched, which is scratching the head. Those three, this is the important line. They have nothing to do with ruach ra, those have to do with the kiyas, with cleanliness. Therefore, you won't have to immediately wash your hands. But with God's ruach, you should try to wash your hands ASAP. But nekias is not urgent. It's just that you should try to seat your hands. But first of all, as we mentioned earlier, you don't necessarily need water. If you haven't got water, you don't necessarily need water. You're going to see in Sif Chof Beis, you could wash. If it's not, so again, ruach, you definitely need water, and you should do it ASAP. The ones which are not ruacha, which are just nikias, cleanliness, those you don't necessarily need water if you haven't got water, and you could just rub it off. And if you and it's not urgent, just try to see to it whenever you can, but it's not urgent. Which one? So it's chayim and olav, shoes, feet, and roshoy. Now, those are not necessarily ruacha. Now, somebody asked a question. I forgot what was it about this. Top of the shoe, right? Top of the shoe. Now, what do you think about top of the shoe, Rabbi Yisai? If you touch the top of the shoe, yeah. Still dirty.
It's not
necessarily dirty. Machloek is achoinim. Come, machloek is achoinim. Depends on the shoe. Depends on the shoe. Depends on the shoe. Depends on your mother's. Yeah. Right. So the emes is as follows. That... I was bothered about this. I was bothered about this because often you have top of the shoes not necessarily dirty. Until I suddenly realized that actually nowadays we talk about germs. I think it's very understandable that we're always going to require washing hands, even on top of the shoes. The mice of the post came not mechalic at all. This kind of shoe, that kind of shoe, dirty, clean. We're always going to be mechayev, washing hands after touching shoes. Even if you say, my shoes are actually clean, I just got them brand new. What about brand new shoes? You know, we're always, right, we're also on Tisha B'Av. We're just going to wash less. But we're gonna wash. We're always going to say, after touching shoes, you're going to wash your hands because of Nikias. So why can't somebody say, my shoes are not the top of my shoe? So we don't say that. We're always going to require. And I just thought that probably the reason nowadays, we cannot easily understand that with regards to germs, even if you can't necessarily see it, you know, shoes do tend to get dirty, even if it's not visible. Yeah. Yes, nevertheless, the post can even address that, and they say that one should.
They've never been walking.
Yes, nevertheless, yes, one should, yeah.
I thought it was just concerning leather shoes. No.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the title thing for not shoelaces, because isn't there a napkin for the mock over the top of the shoes on?
You're saying that you should be mechayev shoelaces as well.
Yeah. So I understand.
Right, but if it's, I don't know the answer. I hear, it's a good point. Okay, let's carry on. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Some say that you also need to wash hands even if you went between the deceased. Which, lemaisa, what that means is if you go in the Beis HaKvoros, somebody goes to the cemetery, going between the deceased, you'd have to wash hands as well. Umishan Yoga Bamei, somebody who touches the Nifta as well, you'd have to wash his hands. Somebody who checks his clothing for lice. If you're checking, even if you're checking the clothes, that's not so common nowadays. But if you were to check your garments for lice, you'd have to for your clothes for lice, you'd have to wash your hands as well. Mishamish mitosay, relations as well, after relations as well. The Sforim Akdoshim was right before because it's Tova Kodesh. Vanegia bekinah, somebody who touches the lice as well. Touching a lice, one should wash hands as well. When you get begufa biyot, I will speak about this a little more extensively shortly. When you get begufa biyot, if you touch your uncovered areas of your body, meaning the area of your bodies which are normally covered, if you touch any of that, whatever is normal in that particular society, any part of the body which is normally covered, if you're touching that area, you'd have to wash your hands as well. Says the Shulchan Aruch, what happens if you don't? Misha osa achas mikol elu. If you touch any of those, if you did any of those, veloy notal, and you did not wash your hands, im talmid chacham hu. If you are talmid chacham, talmudoy mishtakeach. You're forgetting your learning. This is the direct consequence of not washing hands, is you're going to forget your learning, chas v'shalom. If you didn't learn that much, yoytzei midaitoy. You're losing your mind to some extent. It's hard to measure this, but it's something it will affect you in a negative way. It will affect you negative. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Mem Beis, Bein HaMeisim between the deceased, Beveis HaKvoros in a Beis Olam. The Tosav Maril, the Maril writes as well, Zimel Chav Gemel, Sheyesh Litol Koidim Sheisbal HaKvoros, there's also an Inyan to wash your hands before going to the Beis HaKvoros as well, to wash hands. People are makbid on that, no? I think people are very makbid to wash hands before Beis HaKvoros. And v'roich tzin shenis b'shuvah l'chatzah Beis HaKvoros. And when you're leaving the chatzah, the courtyard, when you're leaving the Beis Olam, you also wash your hands. It's always very available there, specifically because there's a halacha. Sheruchos rois melavin achozrin. Because there's ruach ra. This is for ruach ra. And the ruach ra in a Beis Olam, there is ruach ra of to some level of the niftarin, is ruach ra, and therefore it sticks, and one should, as you leave, you should remove it by washing your hands. Yes?
If you go under a tree that was from
the Beis HaKvoros. I can see there's a Kohen asking a question here, I can see that. There's a Kohen asking a question. Yeah. No, you wouldn't have to wash your hands. You would not have to wash your hands. Because it's a good point. The answer is because it's a hoilich bein ha-meisim. It's based on the fact that you walked between the meisim. Oyheil is for a kohen very relevant, but you're still not considered hoilich bein ha-meisim. Yeah. No, you wouldn't have to. Again, you're not hoilech ben ha-meisim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'yesh noigin oz lichetz gam aponim. Some also have the minhag that as leaving the Beis HaKvoros, you also wash your face a little bit. Lichetz gam aponim. Sifkoten mem gimel b'meis afilu mishenichnas etzal meis echot o sheholach l'lavoyso noigin b'netil osa levaya. After attending a levaya, one should be careful to wash one's hands. V'noagu Lehakbit im ikonis odom lebais acher koidim shichet hominega vesenu teurehi. Right, I'm Siv Kotten Memvav. I want to speak about that. He's talking about biyot if you touch with your hand any areas which are normally covered. Any area which is normally metunofos is really considered a dirty area. So the point is as follows. Just try to get that clear. Why is it that we need to wash our hands after touching a covered an area which is normally covered? Why? Why is it? Where does that come from? So the answer is because the areas which are normally covered are normally areas. I mean, we have to remember this is. In previous generations, people weren't able to wash themselves as commonly as we can nowadays. Therefore, a person who would touch an area, the areas which were covered will normally be very sweaty indeed, because you wouldn't be able to wash any area which is covered would be very sweaty, and there would be particles of sweat there, milmulei zeo, and therefore this is tinuf, this is dirty, this is not clean, and therefore if you touch any area which normally be covered, you have to after wash your hands. Now, it's true that nowadays we are much cleaner, but we can still appreciate the point that any area of your body, which is normally covered, is obviously going to be... I mean, think about just your hands. We keep washing our hands non-stop. How many times do we wash our hands a day? We keep washing because it's the most uncovered area of the body. But the more covered the area is, the less we wash it. So therefore, there's a halacha that if you touch any covered area, you have to wash your hands afterwards. Now, this is a halacha which Mishnah Berurah said in Sifkot Mem Vav biyode b'mekoyim esam tunofos, and the Mishnah Berurah explains sheyesh b'hem milmulei zeo, because if particles of sweat are there, and therefore one should be makbid. There is a shail which the poskim address. I'm going to mention it. We don't paskin like that, but I'm going to mention it. The Kavachaim speaks about what happens if you're kelim. What happens if you just had a shower? And you're touching, you just had a shower, okay, you get out of the shower, and now afterwards you 5 minutes later, you touch an area, you scratch yourself, you touch an area which is normally covered. And you know, there's no milmulei zeo though. There's no particles of sweat. You just wash yourself, you clean yourself. Is there any need to wash your hands afterwards or not? What do you think about it, Sai? Loy plug again. Very good. So the Kavachaim has a big chiddush, and I'm just going to say this is not the way normally we paskin. Again, Chazanish was very makbid about this, and so were most Gedolim, very makbid. The Kavachaim does say that one wouldn't have, if you know for a fact you're 100% clean, there's no minimalism, there's no particles whatsoever, the Kavachaim says you won't have to wash your hands. Although we can appreciate this for all, but the content of all the poskim, right across, from Reb Shlomo Zalman all the way, all the poskim, they all say that we don't paskin like that, but whenever you touch the cover, you have to wash your hands, and of course, the reason is loy plug. You can't start saying, you know, I washed myself 5 minutes ago, half an hour ago, it's a sweaty day, it's a hot day. We don't start saying that whenever you touch a covered area, the halacha is, we wash our hands. But again, the halacha is not necessarily 3 times, because that's nothing to do with Ruach Ha. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.